It's Morning Edition on Boise State Public Radio News. Good morning. I'm George Prentice. Systemic racism. It's a fact now that it has been exposed to some only recently due to the events of 2020. Well, that only amplifies its stark nature. A coalition of Idaho arts, culture, and history organizations is committed to taking steps to what they say could dismantle systemic racism in our community. Joining us this morning is Lita Harris Neustetter, actress, writer, singer, therapist, and John Michael Shirt, entrepreneur, co-founder of the Trey McIntyre Project, and executive producer of Treefort Music Fest. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Lita Harris Neustetter, we're not just talking about a piece of paper here. We're talking about tangible commitment, hiring, policy change.
Correct. Also, content change as far as what kinds of programmings and exhibits different organizations are offering. So we wanted to create something that would be lasting systemic change overall, not a temporary fix, but fundamentally changing the way arts history and culture organizations are working and what kinds of programming they're offering the community. The content itself of just what is good art, music, drama, plays, all of that has been really shaped by a white lens. So fundamentally changing what is being offered to the community, as well as who in the community is being given access and being included in those conversations about what kind of art and culture and history is important for us to be showing and preserving and sharing within the community.
And being in the room when those decisions are made for that programming.
Exactly, because that's been one of the most important missing links historically in our country, is that Black people have not been included in decision-making and leadership roles. And so when we have been brought into situations, it's usually after the fact, which is where we run into issues about tokenism, where we're not actually part of the decision making. We're just maybe brought in as kind of more of a superficial stamp of approval, but we need to be in there. We need to be in the room where it happens.
John Michael Shirt, can I ask you to drop some names? Who's on board here?
I want to be clear that this coalition is a democratic sort of entity that's living and breathing and forming itself as we go right now. So when we say the coalition, it's not like the membership is both fixed or finite. And as Lita said a moment ago, and as you pointed out earlier, the action steps and statement that people are signing on to, it might take some of these organizations years to fully implement these action steps. Because when you're talking about systemic changes, you have to get into the status quo, into the system itself, and begin to dismantle and tinker with and change and experiment. So I say that because I'm so proud of the organizations that I've been able to sign, but we also know there's dozens, hundreds more that will still be signing as we continue this work. But to do this work, when we say work, what is that? It's difficult conversations. It's having to meet with your board of directors and some of your largest patrons and say, we have to make some changes and not everyone's going to like this. So I applaud the Boise Philharmonic and Opera Idaho for being able to sign. They're two larger organizations. I applaud the Idaho Botanical Garden for being able to sign Treefort Music Fest. And I can tell you, sitting on the leadership team of Treefort, it wasn't easy. It wasn't like we had one discussion and said, oh, sure, we're going to agree to this. In fact, it took Treefort leadership team weeks and weeks and weeks. And Lita can speak more to this, but it took 2 months for a working group of volunteers from many organizations to craft the statement and action steps. So this work is not easy. And I've named a few large organizations, but we've also opened it up to individual artists and historians. So when you see this list of co-signatories, it's everything from some of our largest cultural orgs to individual artists with everything in between. And to build a real coalition, we felt that was very important.
Do you think it's because this is tangible, because these are action steps, that's where some organizations might be hesitant? It's one thing to say something, it's another thing to sign something, but quite frankly, it's a big deal to change and do something.
Yeah, and I think when you look at, I mean, there's certain institutions like Boise State, segments of Boise State really wanted to sign. The Morrison Center, Laura Kendall, the Morrison Center was the one who initiated this entire convening to begin with and funded the early discussions. Morrison Center is not able to sign. primarily because of HB 440. So when we're looking at systemic racism, you also have to look at, there are real structures and laws that prevent some of these action steps from being implemented.
And simply put, we're talking about state funding to those organizations and the shackle that comes with that.
Yes. And so when we look at this list of signatories and co-signatories, there's still ongoing work happening in every organization. And I think that's what we're most proud of, is the difficult conversations that continue. And the organizations that have been limited in their ability to sign are also showing incredible other ways of supporting. The city is not able to sign for legal reasons, but the Department of Art and History has given a grant to continue this anti-racism work amongst the coalition. So I think there's a lot of ways we're going to see the entire Boise arts, culture, history community continue to do anti-racist work. But the signing, I think, is important because it says something difficult, and it says it out loud, and it says it in a unified message. If this was an easy statement to sign onto and everyone had to just signed it after one conversation, then we wouldn't be doing the work.
Lita, can you, well, give me your vision of holding organizations and people of influence, people of power, accountable?
That is a really tricky topic that we, as a collective, because everything that we do with this coalition is decided by the group, among the group. And what are the consequences of not signing? That's a fantastic question that we have not yet tackled. You know, do we call out organizations who haven't signed? Do we shame them? Do we, you know, I mean, this, you know, there hasn't been a discussion about what do we do with the people who haven't signed. For me personally, as a Black person working on this, you know, there's a personal element that is unavoidable for me. And with some of the organizations who haven't been able to sign because of some kind of barriers that they're working through and working on, that's one thing. But there's other organizations that just don't want to. They don't want to do the change. You know, there's systemic racism within their organizations and they don't want to face it and change it. And that is a harder pill for me to swallow. And so my instinct is to want to call them out. But overall, I'm trying to keep in mind that the best way to really create lasting systemic change is to focus on the people who are on board and how we can move forward and hopefully over time collect more of these people who maybe initially weren't on board. But over time, we'll see that this is the right thing to do. It's a better way to be in community with everyone in the community.
Lita, it's important to note that the statement is specific in that, well, it talks about Black people as opposed to other races. How come?
Well, we've found across the country that when we have diversity and inclusion efforts that are more broad and include all people of color, that Black people still tend to get left behind in those efforts, and that those ambiguous diversity efforts are not as effective as very specific anti-racism efforts that are identifying the most marginalized of the marginalized communities. And when you lift up the most marginalized, in this case, Black people, then everybody benefits. So it's not that organizations can only be focusing their efforts on Black people, but it's that they have to at least be doing that.
I think we've seen similar sort of analogies, like in the queer community for so long, the benefits of queer liberation have mainly benefited white cisgender men. And so there's a movement to say Black trans lives matter. If you're always looking at who are the least protected and provided for in a subgroup and you elevate them, it elevates all. A member of the coalition made the great point that you go to the Anne Frank Memorial, not just to honor and think about the plight of Jewish people during World War II. It's a memorial to all of humanity and all of human rights, but it's using the specific group as a story and a path forward. And to Lita's point, when you focus on the traumas and the history of Black people in America, and you begin to really look at what changing systemic racism is for Black people, it will benefit all. But this statement was very crafted to be very specific because it helps focus the effort.
He is John Muckleshirt, and she is Lita Harris Neustetter. Great good luck to you, and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, George.